Hi, welcome to the Bridgepoint Church Message Podcast. Today we're starting a new series called Be Christmas. In this first message of the Christmas season, Tyler reminds us that Jesus came to be hope to a people living in hard and often confusing times. Christmas reminds us that what Jesus has to offer is a wholeness for us that the world can't provide.
All right, Merry Christmas, Bridgepoint. How are we doing? Awesome. Online, I hope you're chatting in. Merry Christmas. We finally get to say it. It is appropriate. We're past Thanksgiving, so the debate is settled. Now we can be all in on Christmas, even if you have issue with that. I feel like biblically it says you have to wait till Thanksgiving before you can start celebrating, but we don't have to have that conversation now. All right, we're there. Starting a new series today called Be Christmas. Man, if ever our world needed Christmas, it's never needed it more than it does now. 2020 has been that year. So at Bridgepoint, we've been planning and preparing. We have been so excited to get to this series. We've been so excited to finish out 2020 so strong and so demonstratively in our community of being Christmas that we're thrilled for that, thrilled that you're here, thrilled that we get to celebrate. Our world so desperately needs the hope of what this season is about. Our world needs to know that joy is possible. Our world needs to know that peace is possible. Our world needs to know that God loves them now more than ever, because we've lived in a season of such uncertainty, of fear and of chaos and of election confusion and attack and frustration and everything that weighs into that, of just the anxiousness of it all, of how do you navigate it? What do you do with it? What do you do when your neighbor says those things that so staunchly disagree with your perspective? What do you do with friends and family that are either just paralyzed in fear or trying to be insanely wise and balancing that versus trying to live by faith in these types of things? What do you do with the wide range of perspectives, and how do you navigate it if ever we've needed something to remind us of the hope that God is still in control? We need it now. We need Christmas. That's why for this year alone, you get a pass if you started celebrating before Thanksgiving. Again, it's just a personal thing, okay? But it's not enough this year. It's not enough to just celebrate Christmas. I'm talking to those of you that are all in on Jesus, followers of his. We must be Christmas, because the world is watching. The world is searching. Every human heart is looking for something more than what our culture has been able to offer them in this year of 2020. And today, as we begin this new series called Be Christmas, today I just want to submit to you the possibility, and it's just a possibility, but what if everything that your longing, hungry heart is searching for? Do you hear that? What if everything that your longing, hungry heart is searching for can be tied back to the story of Christmas? What if everything you're searching for has an answer that can be found in the story of Christmas? That's why I feel like this next season, to wrap up this calendar year of 2020, is so critical for our church to make a statement to Pinellas County and literally to the ends of the earth of the power of why we celebrate Christmas. There's also some of you that are entering into Thanksgiving and now the Christmas holiday season that it's adding stress. You feel that much more anxiety. You're asking yourself, do I have to hang out with my family again in less than a month? Do I have to be around these people? Do I have to go shopping? Do I have to navigate this? Do we have to listen to that uncle rant about that political opinion? Do I have to deal with this? What about all this pressure? What about all this weight? And then how do we do that in a pandemic, and how does it affect things? And I'm going to be missing people that normally I'm so looking forward to seeing at this time, and all of the complexities that come with this year. If you walked in or tuned in today not ready for Christmas, or so ready for Christmas, if you walked in or tuned in today and you know that deep in your heart it's longing for something and it's not finding it in culture, it's not finding it even in the decorations maybe this year, can I ask you just to lean in with me to the possibility that what your heart, and if I'm honest, what my heart is searching for is found in Christmas? Here's what I mean. I'm going to walk with you. If you're familiar with the biblical story of Christmas from the Bible, obviously at all, you kind of know the gist of it. The Creator, Almighty God, holds the whole world in His hand. He created everything. He saw His people living, but He saw His people walking with the weight of sin, walking with the weight of imperfection. I don't need to convince you as much as I don't need you to convince me that I have missed the mark. God saw us carrying that weight, the brokenness that exists inside of us, and Creator at Christmas time inserted Himself into creation. What a wild story. What a miracle in and of itself. God became human flesh to live among us. That's the story and the power of Christmas. That baby at the OG Christmas, that's original Christmas for those of you that are over 40, at the original Christmas, that baby Jesus changed everything. And it has the power to change everything for you today and for the next few weeks if you'll lean into this story. That's why I'm excited about it. But it starts with a prophecy. It starts with a prophecy in Isaiah. That's where I want to begin the story today. I want you to lean in with me to this story because here's why this matters. God, in the Old Testament before Jesus came, would actually speak to His people through prophets. They were almost like the prophet would be a mouthpiece for God. And in this instance, God spoke to Isaiah. Isaiah spoke it to God's people, and it gave them hope because Isaiah's people lived in a world that, quite frankly, was often hopeless. It was dark. It was lonely. They questioned if God saw them. They questioned if God was still at work. They questioned if God was big enough to handle their real life problems. They questioned if their things of faith that had been passed down to them for generations were too childish to hold the weight of real life adult issues. They walked through anxious times. They walked through scary times. They walked through uncertain times. They walked through times where they were really wondering, God, where are you in the midst of all that? Does that sound familiar? Does it sound a little bit like what our year has been? God's people were walking through not the pandemic part, but the confusion and the chaos of the times. And then God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. In fact, one biblical commentator describes the setting in which Isaiah presented the scripture I want to read to you as this. It said, there was no hope for God's people in anything made by people at the time. And I just thought, man, I know a year that certainly sounds a whole lot like that, 2020. And then God spoke. Listen to what God says through Isaiah. If you're familiar with the Christmas story at all, maybe this will be familiar. If you're not familiar with this story, then lean in, regardless of what it is. Lean in, and I want you to hear what God is saying, possibly even to you this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 6, it says, a prophecy, for to us a child is born. That was to come. That was what they were waiting on. That was the hope they needed to hear. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, this is big time, look at this, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. To be walking in a dark and hopeless time and get just a little sense of something that you could hang your hat on as a follower of God, of all the wondering of saying, God, are you out there? God, do you see this? God, what do I grab a hold of in a time like this? Isaiah's words had to have been the anchor that God's people were saying, man, we needed to hear that God was still at work. And he continues that passage by saying this, of the increase of this child's government and of peace, the increase of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, that's referencing back for God's people at the time, the history that God was still at work, the plan that was still in play, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. To walk in Isaiah's day in such a time that was so heavy, so dark, so confusing, so anxious, so wondering if God was even still at work, this was the breath of fresh air that those people desperately needed. I don't know what you tuned in or walked in today needing in your soul. I don't know what your heart is searching for. I don't know the specific weight that you're carrying. I just know that it's been a miserable year. This is why I'm begging all of you, lean in to the possibility that this is exactly the passage God Almighty wants you to hear today. Because that promised child, that baby, might just be the answer your heart is longing for. Did you catch the name? Did you catch what Isaiah said this baby was going to be known by, known for, described as? I don't want you to miss the weight of that, because as God was speaking through Isaiah, I think that matters even to us, that Isaiah was saying this baby that is to come, he's going to be known as a wonderful counselor. Anybody ever needed or desired a wonderful counselor? In other words, could this baby really be the ultimate guide for our lives? Hey, parents, speaking as one, have you ever wished that there was somewhere you could turn to just seek out wisdom and answers to do your best in raising your kids? What if it's tied into who God was and is? Hey, anybody that's ever been in a relationship or navigated difficult relational circumstances or been married, have you ever looked for the manual on that? Have you ever been the type of person that's wondered, is there any solving the complex infrastructure known as the female mind? Have you ever been so simple of a human being that you've wondered why people view you as such a fool and yet you're just a man? What if it's tied specifically back to who God is making us to be? What if it's tied back to him saying, I have plans, I have purpose, I have design, I have a game plan for your specific life? What if in the moments where you're wrestling, do I take that job? Do I leave this job? Is that my next? Is this the plan? God, would you send me a billboard? God, would you write something in the clouds? God, would you please just give me wisdom? And God's trying to say, I have. I want to be that counselor for you. If you've walked through hard times, if you've walked through uncertain times, if you've walked through difficult seasons and you've just wondered how to navigate life, what if the plan from the beginning was to show you what life looks like in the form of Jesus living his life of love? But it wasn't just wonderful counselor that the baby would be known by. He'd be known as Mighty God. In other words, what if God gave us something big enough to stake our lives on? Because if we're honest, how many of you walked in or tuned in today feeling the weight of the world completely on your shoulders? That for months, if not years, you've put on a brave face. That you've picked it up every day, that you've done your best, that you put on a smile, or that you've handled it as best you possibly could, knowing that none of us have done this before. And that you're trying every day, but if you're honest, if you're really, really honest, today when you walked in, you felt like you weren't sure where the next step was going to land, where the next breath was going to come from. You felt like you've been brave for so long, But when's the point that you get to take a breath and that somebody's brave for you? What if the point was never that we have to carry the full weight of our world on our shoulders as if we're capable of that anyway? What if Christmas was intended to be the reminder that God gave us an anchor, that when life starts to toss, when life starts to turn, when life gets chaotic and confusing and dark and filled with anxiousness, that there's a space we can go to that will be constant? What if that baby was to remind us of that? That being Mighty God was the reminder that we can build our lives on a foundation that won't fail. Remember his name, though? It didn't even stop there. It called Everlasting Father. I know for some of you, to bring up the idea of father doesn't come with pleasant thought, doesn't come with happy memories. But this isn't a comparison to just an earthly father. This is an everlasting father who's completely good and completely just. A father that promises to never leave or forsake, to never abandon or disappear, to never shirk his duties of being present and involved and with you. What if in the midst of this world, part of why he's identified as an everlasting father is because it's a reminder that God holds our whole world and the whole world in his hands. That he wants to do this life with us. That it wasn't just to spin your world into creation and step back so that he could judge or correct or shame you for the ways you didn't get it right. But instead, as an everlasting father, to be present, to be with you, and to be strong for you when you and I can't be strong enough for ourselves. There's hope there. But that isn't even where the name stopped. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Does 2020 point to our world's desperate need to find peace or what? What if Christmas is the reminder that knowing Jesus, that baby, that God in human flesh was that deep, soul level rest and satisfaction that so many of us are searching for in this world? What if Christmas really was intended not to just be the reason we put up trees and lights and give presents and stuff to everybody? What if Christmas was intended to remind us that actually everything we're searching for is tied into what everything that this holiday is about? That's a powerful thought. I want you to hear a message, the message paraphrase of how the rest of Isaiah's prophecy finished out. Because it wasn't just a description of the coming Christmas child of Jesus that was to come for the people. It wasn't just that that gave them hope, that anchored their soul. But Isaiah continued it by saying, his ruling authority will grow. Because you can't stop a move of God. And there'll be no limits to the wholeness he brings. You see that? To the broken places in your heart, to the weighty places, to the places where you're tired, where you're worn out and you're weary and you don't feel like you can keep going, there are no limits to the wholeness Jesus can offer your life. Because Jesus didn't come to just fix this earthly thing. Jesus didn't come to just take over. Jesus didn't come to be president. Jesus didn't come to just magically sprinkle pixie dust on us. Jesus came to complete us in a way that this world cannot offer us. And there's no limits to the wholeness he brings. He'll rule from the historic David throne over that promised kingdom. Again, referencing back that this has been God's plan and nothing can stop God's plan. He'll put that kingdom on a firm footing and he'll keep it going with fair dealing and right living, beginning now and lasting always. And then look at this. The zeal of God of the angel armies will do all this. Please don't miss the power of what God is saying, that God will come through for you. That thousands of years when people were in a dark, hopeless, empty, anxious place, they got a promise for God that God would show up for them in a way that they were not expecting. And God did. The baby came. The baby came not like anybody was expecting. And the baby lived his life not like anybody was expecting. It was completely different and completely loving and such a completely refreshingly different way of life that the religious elite couldn't stand it, and they killed him. And the baby died, and they stuck that grown man that the baby had become into a tomb, his lifeless body. But that baby that became the Savior, his heart started beating again, and his lungs filled with breath, and in one fell swoop, he defeated sin and death. He defeated our imperfections. He defeated all the ways we cannot measure up to that standard forever, because that baby rose from the grave and now reigns at the right hand of the Father, because God will come through for you. And Christmas is the reminder of the promise that God's going to show up, and in fact, he did. He showed up in Jesus, and he's promised to never leave. Amen. In other words, if you hear nothing else I say today, what I want you to understand about Christmas is this big idea, that Jesus came to be hope to people who lived in dark times. And if your journey right now, listen to me, online and in the room, if your journey right now is a dark time, if it's lonely, if it's empty, if it's isolating, if you feel broken, if you feel worthless, cast aside, if you're too addicted, too marginalized, too stuck, too broken, your story's too jacked up to be a part of something more, I need you to understand that that's why Jesus came. And there's not one of us, myself included, that hasn't reached a moment where we need Jesus to show up for us. And Christmas reminds us that he did. Some of Jesus' followers, when he was walking this earth and living that life that was refreshingly different, were eyewitnesses to that, even to his death and his resurrection. They saw him after he'd come back to life. They recorded many of the things that he said, the way that he taught, the way that he loved, the miracles that he did. And one of his followers, Luke, recorded Jesus as saying this in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. These are Jesus' own words. He said, "For the Son of Man," Jesus is talking about himself, "the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." It's like a mission statement. That's why he came to do that. Christmas was the beginning of Jesus's mission to be executed. What was the mission? Seeking and saving the lost. And sometimes we tie up too much weirdness or mysticism into the idea of the lost. What does that mean that Jesus came for them? And I want us to understand this Christmas, the purpose of Jesus's coming, that the lost is anyone that has felt confused, tossed, disillusioned, or hopeless. That's why Jesus came. He came for anybody that's hurting or weary or self-destructed or addicted. He showed up. He came for anyone that's been self-seeking or felt worthless, marginalized, or unseen. Jesus came for the lost, meaning anybody that's felt anxious, empty, afraid, or cast aside. I hope that what I'm doing right here is meeting its purpose, which is simply to point out the fact that all of us, this pastor included, find ourselves desperately in need of a Savior because of the brokenness that's a part of my story and yours. What if Christmas is the reminder that everything our soul is searching for goes right back to this Christmas child? What does he have to do with all this? I am so glad you asked. The Christmas child, if you're in the place where you're feeling confused, tossed, disillusioned, or hopeless, or you know someone that is, then maybe the best gift you can give them is point them to the Christmas child who can be for them what they can't be for themselves, a wonderful counselor. For the people or for yourself that's hurting or weary or self-destructed or addicted, what if the gift you gave to them or to yourself this year is to seek out Jesus even more because he is mighty God? What if for the friend or for the heart that's present or that you know that's self-seeking or feeling worthless or feeling marginalized or unseen like nobody cares, what if the gift you gave to them was to point them back to the Christmas child who is known as an everlasting Father? What if for anyone that's ever felt anxious, empty, afraid, or cast aside, you reminded them that Christmas is the place where they can find the Prince of Peace? That everything our souls are longing for, everything our souls are hurting for, everything that we need in this life is tied to this child, which I think is why this time of year we sing, "Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free." Listen to this. "From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation." It's been the plan from the beginning. He's tying back. "Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart." People walked in darkness and they desperately searched for hope to find anything to hang on to. And the hope they were given is what we now know as Christmas. Jesus came to be Christmas. Jesus came to be with them and therefore to be with us. In other words, Jesus came to be hope to people who lived in darkness. So listen to me, church. Those of you that are following Jesus, those of you that understand what Christmas is about and understand how Christmas in this year of 2020 is so desperately needed for the culture around us, the big idea today, Jesus came to be hope to people who lived in dark times. Be hope. Be hope. It's not enough this year to put up a tree and to put up the lights and celebrate the magic of Christmas, because what our world needs is to see a group of people that are living guided by something that's big enough to hold the weight of their lives, that's bigger than the childhood stories they think they have outgrown God in light of. It's bigger than the weight of this world upon our shoulders. Church, this Christmas, we can't just celebrate it. We must. The world needs us to be Christmas. Can I ask you something? Who needs to see your hope to guide them to his hope this Christmas? Who needs to see your hope to guide them to his hope this Christmas? After 2020, I know you know somebody that needs some hope. After 2020, if we're honest, we could use the reminder of where hope comes from. But here's what I want to point out. Two questions and then I'm done, I promise. See your hope. Two questions. Number one, do you have hope? Do you have hope that in the midst of this year, God is still at work? That God has plans and purpose for your life, meaning to give and assign to you, a plan that's wilder than you could ask or imagine, and something bigger than anything this world could offer us? Do you have hope? Because if not, maybe today, maybe the start of Christmas season begins by saying, I need to know Jesus. I need to know the Christmas child, because hope, I'm lacking it. But let me talk to you, those who have been around Bridgepoint or around church for any length of time. Let me talk to you guys for a minute, followers of Jesus. Can other people see your hope? Like when you post, are you posting hopeful things? When you talk about things, are you talking hopefully? Are you talking about the hope of how God's working for our country, in our world? Are you talking about the excitement of what he's doing? Are you living more in a fearful tone or a judgmental tone or a condemning tone? Because that's not pointing to the hope of what Christmas is about. Our world doesn't need more of that. Our world needs more of Jesus. So this Christmas, maybe it's a neighbor or a family member. Maybe it starts with you and in your own home. Maybe it's a coworker or a classmate or a teammate or a friend. Maybe it's little seeds of hope to the people that are going to get exhausted working retail and providing for those of us that are shopping this year. Maybe it's tangible things in our community through the Be Christmas initiatives that we have of folks that need just a taste of hope that you and I can provide to them, because we know where to find it. This Christmas, it's not enough. It's not enough, church. It's not enough for us to say, yay, Christmas, here's a present. Yay, Christmas, look at the lights and the pretty trees. Yay, Christmas, I love the magic of this time of year. This year, more than ever, let's commit ourselves to be Christmas. And that starts with the hope that Jesus has brought to us. Would you pray with me? God, 2020 has been a year, and don't we know it? God, all of us tuning in or joining in person, all of us have a story. All of us have an experience. Most of us have some hurt, some anxiousness, some confusion, some questions, some uncertainty related to this season. And God, you know all of those. But God, while all of us were caught off guard by 2020, you, God, were not. You, God, still are the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You, God, are everything that our souls are searching for, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. You, God, have the answers that we feel like we need to manufacture on our own. You, God, are steady and ready for our life's weight and problems. You, God, even loved us enough to make provision for our sin and imperfection. So, God, my hope this Christmas is that we might know where real hope is found. And that's you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you made a way that we would know hope in an otherwise often hopeless feeling world. So Jesus, help us to trust you. In your name we pray, amen.
I hope you have enjoyed this first message of the Be Christmas series. Jesus is the hope the world needs. It has been a rough year, but God wasn't caught off guard. As we consider what this year has meant, with all the heartache and confusion, our prayer is that God will propel us to find the answers we seek this Christmas.